I invite you to please keep your Bibles open there with me to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be doing something today a little different as we go through the parable, and there's a reason why. I also want you to hold on to your bulletin. Does everybody have your bulletin? All right, and can everybody see that? And if you can't see that too clearly, don't worry. We'll try to get it in focus and things like that. But if you can't see it too clearly, don't worry, because it's in your bulletin. It's the same thing. I just want you to follow along with me. Okay? Anybody like to take notes with sermons? Please say yes. Okay? Good. Love it when we take notes. Today, everyone can take notes by drawing a picture. Hopefully, there's at least a pen in front of you in the pews. And every single person can follow along today. I'm going to be drawing the pictures up in front of us. And I want every single one of you to draw a picture, because we're going to go down to the market, the farmer's market, on Saturday, and we're going to hold an art sale, and we're going to sell these pictures, and whoever gets the most wins. Okay? You know, actually, this is kind of funny. This week, on Thursday, is another Majestic art class. And the ministry that Alan and Kathy do is just beautiful. It's wonderful. If you have not yet been to the Majestic Art Class, we invite you to. It's fantastic, and it's coming up this Thursday. Okay? I'm not at all. Yes, and if anybody needs pens, there we go. Brother John's holding up some pens if anyone needs pens to follow along and to draw. I am not going to even approach what Alan can do artistically this morning. Some of you might, though. Some of you will. And the reason why we're drawing is this. We've been going through kingdom parables as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has taught. And today, we will be focusing on Matthew chapter 13, the parable. There's a couple different names you'll see out there for this teaching. It's the parable of the sower or the farmer, and or the parable of the four soils, or it's the parable of the sower and the four soils. And we're going to teach through this today. There's two parables in Scripture that come with their own biblical interpretation. One of them is the tares and the wheat. We've already done that one. And where Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus and say, explain to us the parable of the tares and the wheat. And then this parable itself. I might go so far as to say this. This entire series is building up to this message today. This parable of the kingdom is so central, so important, and so meaningful that we have to understand it. In fact, the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all contain it. And one of the gospel writers records Jesus as saying this: if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. If you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. And so we're going to go through this today, and we're going to let Jesus just literally teach it to us. And we always want to be careful with the parables and interpreting them, because we don't want to just add a bunch. It's called allegory, allegorical interpretation, that every little element has some little meaning to it, and we stretch it out and make it something it really wasn't meant to be. We don't run the foul of that today, though, or any danger of that today. Why? Because very specifically, Jesus himself gives the interpretation of this parable. And what we're going to do is we're going to draw pictures as we listen to his teaching, so that we can keep track of all the elements as we go along. Okay? Just so that we can keep track of all the elements. And so as I use a device that we talked about being, you know, jumping into the 90s, I'm looking for the focus. I'm also using my Ben Franklin devices up here. Going back that far too, right? All right, looking for focus, manual fire. Okay, let's give this a shot, make sure it's even get a little clearer. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, put your glasses on. So right about, that's about going to be as good as it gets. That's perfect, because that means you really have to use your bulletins. All right. So here we go. It's the parable of the sower and the four soils, hence four pictures. You can see picture one, picture two, picture three, picture four. And y'all, the first one might feel like it's going to go slow, but you'll get the hang of it by the time we're done with the first one. Then we'll go two, three, four real fast. And yes, you can look at the person next to you as you're drawing. This can be a little different this morning, but it'll work out, okay? And we're going to make some teaching, preaching clues to the text as we go along. So make sure you have your Bibles open, your bulletin open, and draw the best you can possibly draw. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. Clue number one: this teaching was taught to large crowds in public out by the sea. Jesus had gained enough notoriety and reputation by this time that large crowds of people were coming to him. So this parable we're about to sit and listen to is evangelism. He spoke it, I'll use the phrase, my own word, indiscriminately, to just anybody and everybody who would possibly hear. Large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. In your mind's eye then, put that picture in your mind of Jesus, the great rabbi teacher, in a boat, giving himself a little bit of like a podium, a distance from the crowd, but the crowd was all there on the beach. And he begins to teach this teaching. And he spoke to them in parables. See, the whole series has been pictures and parables of the kingdom, right? And this is the point, that we try to learn from Jesus, the King himself, how he describes and defines the kingdom. But he tells stories about it so that we can kind of get a clue and catch what's going on, but it's always deeper and more spiritual and meaningful than we at first think we see. He spoke to them many things in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Verse 5, others fell. So we're going to pause right there, and we're going to draw the first picture. And this is where everyone get out your pens, and we're going to start drawing. Okay? Everyone from the kids, hi, sweetie, to the adults, okay? Don't be shy now. Hi, everybody. Everyone draw. Here we go. What are the elements of the first picture? And see, this is why this is so cool. Oh, hi, it's even in color. Oh, I should have made sure my hands were nice and clean. What are the elements in the first picture? Read with me, and we're just going to draw what Jesus said. "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." So what do we need? I'm going to start with a sower. Over here like this. And I'm going to put a bag in his hands. And I like these kinds of hats for a reason. You may not draw a hat that way. Draw a different kind of hat if you want. How does Alan teach art? How does he do this? This is fun. This is amazing. Now, this is why it doesn't sound right to us. And again, I can stand here. Here it is in, you know, towards the end of June in Iowa, and there's, boy, the crops are just popping. It's amazing. Any more these days, you know, the combines and the harvesters and the planters, they run by GPS. So the rows are straight, and the seeds fall in the exact same row every year now. Okay, I say that to say this. This kind of sowing that this farmer was doing 2,000 years ago was something normal in the first century in Jesus' time, but it's not the way we plant crops today. This is called broadcast sowing. Broadcast. That's why, when you read the parable, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. Now, that's kind of weird to us. It's kind of interesting to us. We have a little footpath or a road. Actually, the pictures on the front of the bulletin are perfect pictures for this too. Just kind of a concept of these four kinds of soil. But what kind of sowing did he do? Guys, he would literally throw the seed. Broadcast sowing, he would have a bag full of seeds and he'd walk along and he'd just go like this. And the concept is that maybe later on he would take a wooden plow and he would plow over the top of the seed to give it a furrow, and so that the seed might be covered a little bit, you know, be able to grow. Okay, but this is called broadcast sowing. This is the way farmers would farm, the way they would plant seed in Israel close to 2,000 years ago. Just like this. So as he's sowing, you can imagine, has anybody ever been to a place where there's a footpath? Maybe been to a park? And I'm not talking a cement footpath. I'm not talking like, you know, in our modern day parks. I'm talking like how about, anybody been out to Scott County Park? And the hiking trails out there, and the biking trails out there. And you, everyone knows where the trails are in Scott County Park, right? Why? Because they're beaten down enough, stuff doesn't grow there. Why doesn't stuff grow there? Because it gets enough traffic that the soil's kind of beaten down hard enough that if a seed drops on it, it can't grow. But there's what's the missing element I got so far? So we got some seeds being thrown out, and some of those seeds fall on the footpath. What's the missing element? Thank you. And the birds come. And eat them up. Quick, simple question. Is the farmer happy with this? No. Why? Because what's the farmer's intention? He wants to produce a crop to either sell or literally to eat. He's going to feed his own family, but not only for the season of harvest, but possibly sell it at market so that he can feed his family when the crops aren't coming in. Okay, so is everyone with me? Show your neighbor your picture. Would you buy that at the farmer's market? All right, y'all drawing along? You don't have to draw exactly like I do. Have some fun with it, those of you who are more artistic than myself. Let's go on to the second picture then. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 13, the parable of the four soils. This is picture number 2. So I'm going to have in the picture the same farmer with his hat and his bag and his broadcast sowing. And as he throws the seed, some seed falls where? Among the rocks. I'm going to exaggerate it. Okay? And what happens, please read very carefully. Look at the text. As Jesus teaches this to the crowd standing on the bank and he's out in the boat, what happens to the seed? Does it sprout? Does it begin to grow? So I got a plant in here. Now you're going to see how good I draw with a Crayola. And it does start to grow. But where is its roots? Trying to get through the rocks. And what's the missing element thus far? Just as I'm drawing it. What am I missing? What's up here? The sun comes out. And what happens? So I'm trying, that's supposed to be a dead leaf on the side of my dead plant. And notice how graphically Jesus describes this teaching. The sun comes out and scorches the plant. Now, let me ask you again, is the farmer happy with this? No, because what's the farmer's purpose? Okay. No fruit, right? Okay, now is everyone following along? You can see how we can do this, and I can go a little faster now, right? Third soil, Matthew 13, verse 7. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Go ahead and just start drawing. Oh, I got him flat-footed this time. Look at that. He's broadcast sowing, this farmer. And he throws the seed, and some of the seed falls where? Among the thorns. Now hold on, and just think through it. Think carefully through it. Thorns came up and choked them out. So what's the presumption? Did the seed start to grow? Yeah. So you're going to have some growth here, just like my first ugly plant in number 2. You're going to have another plant in number 3. Except that this time, what's the problem? It's in the... So I go like this. My wife and I were doing some yard work yesterday and day before. Actually, my wife did more of it than I did. But we got these little landscaping bushes by our house. I don't know why anybody would use those little thorn bushes. They're horrible, and we're trying to trim them back and stuff. And I got stuff in my hands now? I said to her on Friday, honey, use gloves. And on Saturday, I got the thorn in my hand. Shows you how smart I am. Anybody like thorns? Anybody plant a home garden? You have to deal with the weeds and things of the like. Picture number 4. Verse 8 of Matthew 13. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Farmer. Broadcast sowing. And some seeds fell where? The good soil. And what does the good soil produce? Good crop. You know, I'm born and raised in the Midwest. It still absolutely befuddles me. Hey, they say sweet corn season is coming. I forgot his hat. They say sweet corn season is coming. It befuddles me that you can put one or two or three kernels of corn in the ground and a stalk will come up, and on every stalk we'll have how many ear of corn? Ears? Earses? What's the plural for ear? How many ear of corn on a single stalk? One ear of corn on a single stalk? Sometimes two? Maybe three? And on a single cob of corn, how many kernels? On a single cob of corn, how many kernels? Yeah. Hey, what's a good yield? What's a good yield?
22
There you go. That's a good yield. You see, so in this parable, as Jesus is telling this to an agrarian society who lived on farming and fishing, okay? The farmers would have, as they listened to Jesus tell this parable, they would have heard this and said, oh yeah, that's great. You know, yeah, you plant and sometimes you get 30. Yep, that's expected. You plant and sometimes you get 60. Woo, bumper crop, that was a good year. You plant and sometimes you get 100. Whoa, never heard of that before. That's really miraculous. It's amazing thing that just from a couple kernels of corn, by God's created order, you can end up with hundreds more kernels of corn. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And imagine Jesus now getting out of the boat and being done with a parable. This is evangelism. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Do you understand what he said? Do I understand who Jesus is? Because if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any of them? If you don't understand what Jesus is teaching here, how can you understand any of his other teachings? Do you know what he's saying? What is this about? A farmer broadcast sowing. See, the disciples had a similar concern. Now, stay with me for a moment here in Matthew chapter 13. Okay? And I'm going to read quickly. And this is where sometimes they tell pastors not to say certain things when they're preaching. And this is one of those things they tell pastors, don't ever say, listen fast. Because that's really a bad joke. But I'm going to say it anyway. Listen fast, because I'm going to go through something really important here. Read with me in Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Not just in this parable, and not just what this parable means, but in general, the disciples of our King say, why do you tell these stories? Why do you speak in parables? This becomes the theological foundation for why Jesus taught the way he taught. Jesus answered and said to them, Matthew 13, verse 11 and following, to you, now who's the you? It's the disciples of verse 10, not the crowd anymore. It's the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, who came to Jesus and said, why do you teach in stories? And he says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of what? The kingdom of heaven. And that's the focus of our series here these last few weeks. Seek first his kingdom. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. To the followers of Jesus Christ, to the disciples, he says to you, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Circle that word, the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. It's called a divine passive. God grants. And to others, maybe sometimes he does not grant. Verse 12. For whoever has, here's the positive, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. There's the negative. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Therefore, purpose clause for Jesus' theological foundational reason for why he teaches the world in parables indiscriminately to the crowds. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. It's a bunch of negatives. And to his own followers, he just described seeing blind people and hearing deaf people. In their case, and now here's Jesus's, I love this, every time Jesus quotes the Bible, I have this thought. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the living Word of God incarnate. He's the Creator and Savior God. If Jesus speaks, it is God's truth. He really does not necessarily need, he does not need to refer to the Scriptures as authority. But he still does. But he still does. And he exalts, fulfills, and affirms the teaching of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, verse 14. In their case, in whose case? That seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep, now he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, that great missionary calling we sometimes think of it as. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is in the temple and he sees the glory of God filling the temple, and his mouth has to be cleansed by the coal from the angel. The angel goes and gets a coal from the fire and cleanses his mouth. And then it consummates with the concept where Yahweh says to Isaiah, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And right after Isaiah says, here am I, send me, and now Jesus is quoting from that context, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart, circle the word heart, it's going to come up in the parable explanation in just a moment. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. You see, Jesus already referred to that in verse 13, but now he's quoting Isaiah, talking about they have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. So blind eyes and deaf ears. Why? Because their heart is dull. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears. Here's the positive. And understand. Key word, verse 15, understand. He already said that in verse 13. Understand with what? Their what? Heart. And what? Return. You see, this is the greatest message of our Old Testament prophets. A lot of people think that prophecy has something to do with telling the future. To tell something before it happens, like as if it's fortune telling. That's not biblical prophecy. Biblical prophecy is that the prophets go out and they can tell forth the truth of God. And the key calling and teaching of all biblical prophecy is repentance. It's repentance. If you see the kingdom of God, if you hear the kingdom of God, and you understand it in your heart, you will return. What is return? You'll come back to God. God is calling unto himself a people for his own possession. God is calling unto himself a people into his own kingdom. And if you see and hear and understand the message of the kingdom in the depths of who you are, your core and your heart, and you come back to God, that's the purpose of the prophet. And that was the purpose of Isaiah in Isaiah's day, 8th century BC, and it's also the purpose of Jesus in telling the parables in his ministry. Do you see it? Do you hear it? Do you understand it? Then have you turned back to God? Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. And so his audience now again in this section is the disciples. And he says, blessed are you because you do have eyes that see. You do have ears that hear. And you're the blessed ones. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Verse 18, first word, circle it. Hear. Hear. So the theology behind the parables is amazing. When we first drew these pictures, did everyone feel like that was child's play? It's simple, right? But now listen to Jesus' teaching. You really want to hear the truth? You want to hear it? Jesus will tell us what the truth is. Ready? So he says to the disciples, this is the single, most clearly, biblically explained parable in the scriptures. Now let's go back to the pictures one by one. Hear then the parable of the sower. Please have your Bibles open with you in one hand, and you can draw the pictures there with the other hand. We all probably need an art desk or something. We don't have an art desk. Just do the best you can. When anyone hears, you see the word hear again? See, what we're going to do is Jesus is now going to go, remember, I've been using a phrase throughout all of the teachings of the parables of the kingdom and pictures of the kingdom. See, you have to look through the parable to the reality behind it. Jesus is now going to take us to the reality behind the parable. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Heart. Isaiah said they did not understand with their heart, that the people's hearts have become dull. And Jesus now says in his New Testament gospel ministry, when you hear the word of the kingdom and the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart, this is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. Verse 19. So let's give the interpretation. What do these things represent? What does the seed represent? The word of the kingdom. What's the word of the kingdom? That Jesus is, in fact, the King, who is God in the flesh, who came to the world to die on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, so that if you turn, your sins are forgiven. And that message has gone out directly from God Himself. The farmer primarily is God Himself, also in the person of Jesus and what He did to come and be the King of God's kingdom. And some of that seed falls on the rocky path. Now, what's the path? What's the path? What's it say in the passage? Where's the seed sown? In the... the words in the text. The seed is sown in the heart. When the message of Jesus Christ goes out indiscriminately to the multitudes of the world, some people's hearts are just like Scott County Park bike trails. They're so hardened that that message does not penetrate. Doesn't even get a chance. But there's something else we're missing. What's described here? Who's this? Who are the birds? Birds of the evil one. Listen carefully and write this down if you want to. The devil does not want you to believe in Jesus Christ. The devil does not want you to believe in Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the message of Jesus Christ? Could have been, thank you for your testimony. And hers, it turned positive, but I'm going to use it as an illustration of a, what if it goes the other way? If you're watching a Billy Graham TV show and you hear the message, and then the devil just goes, uh-uh. The devil does not care about you at all. And you might hear the message, and he will come and he will strip it away from you. I don't need that religious stuff. It's just a crutch. I'm a good enough moral person as I am. Who needs Jesus? My good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. That is all demonic talk. And it's evil. It's against our very understanding of the kingdom of God. Has the devil taken your salvation away from you because your heart was like the path and it was not willing to receive the message that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and rose again? He's the king of God's kingdom. And it never even sprouted. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. Picture number two. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Don't go too fast. So here, what's the rocky places? It's the heart again. What's the seed? This is very important. The seed is still the same message. The seed does not change in this parable. The seed's the same. It's the message of the king who died on the cross and rose again so that if we repent, we are saved. Did you see that the king is the little crown, the cross? Upward arrow stands for the resurrection, and the circle arrow stands for repentance. That's what I'm drawing there. So the message is the same, but the ground's a little different this time. What's the ground in this one? Rocky. Hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now this is interesting. This is where it gets fun. Immediately receives it with joy. So, just like we drew the picture, did the plant begin to sprout? Yes, it did. So the seed was planted among the rocks and it began to grow. But something happened in the meantime. What happened? The sun. What's the sun stand for? Affliction and persecution. Have you heard about Jesus? Yes, I've heard about Jesus. Oh, he's good. Oh, he's a good teacher. I love Jesus. I've heard Jesus loves me. And then you go home. Your father or mother says, you're a Christian? I'm not trying to tease anybody in this room. This happens every day. There are more Christians persecuted in this century than the previous 19 centuries all added together. We would see people in the village who would turn from Buddhism to come to Christianity, and they would be kicked out of their village. We would see people in the village who turn from Buddhism to Christianity, and their parents would disown them. We are proud Buddhists. We have been Buddhists all their whole life. Do you not know that to be Bama is to be Buddhist? If you become a Christian, you're not even our race. We disown you. You see, when persecution comes to the Christian life, no matter how good it starts out, they immediately received it with what? Joy! I love the message of Jesus. Jesus loves me. But when affliction and persecution comes, and watch those two words, because persecution is usually defined by somebody hurting you from the outside. You know, what about just simple affliction? Affliction of your own? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know life would be this hard. God, where are you? I'm giving up on you now because it's not so fun anymore to be a Christian. And they fall away because of the heat of the sun. And to borrow from the first telling of the parable, their life is scorched. Does the farmer like that? Is that the farmer's intention? No. Let's keep going. The one on whom the seed was sown in the thorns. Here's the third one. We're now in verse 22 of Matthew 13. As Jesus is explaining this parable on the theology of his own kingdom teaching, which is, he says, a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. So the seed is the same. It is the king. Jesus is king of God's kingdom, eternal. Died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. So that if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and turns, they are saved, they are forgiven. And they hear the message, and remember how we asked before, did the plant sprout? Yeah, it started to grow. So they receive the message a little bit. Yeah, you know, a friend asked me to go to church, and I went to church, and I heard a really good message, and I thought, yeah, it's a good idea. And I go out the next week, and two things interrupt my faith. What are the thorns in this one? Worldly things and deceitfulness of wealth. I have a funny phrase that I came up with as I was praying about, thinking about this message. Have you ever heard the idea of someone being a recovering alcoholic? You know, if you were an alcoholic before, and I stand before you as one, and you can say recovering alcoholic. Well, in this passage, you see, somebody can hear about Jesus, and they can hear about his kingdom, which is forever. They can hear things like the parables of the pearl of surpassing value, or the treasure hidden in a field, and that the value of the kingdom of heaven far surpasses any value of anything we could ever have in our lives on earth. And then they can walk away and say, well, yeah, but I got my business to run. I can't waste my time going to church every single Sunday because I got to turn a profit. And so, just like being a recovering alcoholic, I'm a recovering materialistic. Born and raised in America, where everything around us tells us that if you just buy this or buy that, you'll be happier. And it's all the deceitfulness of riches. It's all a lie. Have you ever been happy? Can the new car save your soul? I'm a recovering materialistic. I have to deny that message in our culture every single day and every single time I turn on the TV and every single commercial that comes on. Tempted to trust in money and worldly desires rather than to focus on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And notice how it's described there. Jesus says that the worldly things and deceitfulness of riches does what to the plant? Chokes out the plant. Is the farmer happy with that plant? Does he have fruit? Can he eat? Can he harvest? Can he sell? No, he can't. And the one on whom the seed was sown and the good soil. Wait, no, before I go, hold on. So the thorns are also the heart. Okay? So we have a heart like a path, a heart that's rocky, and now a heart that's thorny. And when people indiscriminately hear the message of the kingdom of God, we tend to fall in one of these camps, what our hearts are like. And the one on whom the seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. 100, 60, 30. The seed is the same thing, the message of the king who came to die for us and rose again from the dead. That's the seed. And the soil is the good soil is the heart of a person who hears the message of Jesus. You mean Jesus created me? You mean Jesus died on the cross for my sin even though he had no sin? You mean Jesus is not dead right now, that he rose again from the dead? And you mean that the scripture says that if I call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved? And all I need to do is pray with my heart, my very central being, and pray to Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Take control of my life. You are the King of God's kingdom. I receive you. I believe in you. And that one seed of faith will produce 30, 60, or 100-fold blessing. I'm not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person whose heart is this time described as good soil, who hears the message of Jesus, the King of God's kingdom. If we don't understand this parable, we don't understand any of Jesus' teachings. Are you telling me that if I just believe in Jesus, He will produce fruit in my life? And a former college binge alcoholic will become a pastor and a missionary? And teach about Jesus Christ all over the world? Be willing to sell everything you have because it doesn't matter anyway? Because Jesus is the greatest treasure that there ever is to have and to own? He who has ears to hear, may our hearts not be dull. May our eyes be open. May our ears be hearing that the King is alive. And He will come into any person's life and He will forgive them of their sin and He will take them and give them true kingdom purpose and meaning and salvation. And then it does not stop with you. You become a fruit bearer 30, 60, or 100 times more, that your ministry expands and your ministry becomes a ministry to other people. We have turned Christianity inside out in the most horrific, wrong way in America in the last generation. We've made it all about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus working through you to produce hundreds of others. Hundreds of others. To do that which does not make sense in the parable, 30 is expected. 60 would be a bumper crop, but 100 more? God wants to use you to save hundreds of others. Oh, but I got a business to run. Oh, but if I do that, I might get persecuted. Satan says, I don't want you to. Now here's the trick, you guys. It's not a trick, it's the truth. I just say here's the trick idiomatically. You ready? Here it is. Too many people teach this parable as if there's four kinds of Christian. It's wrong. Let me show you why that's wrong. The heart is represented by the four kinds of soil. Either a footpath kind of heart that is so hard it won't even receive the seed, or a stony kind of heart that says, yes, Jesus is wonderful and great, but then when a little bit of trouble comes, they turn their back and give up. Or the thorny kind of heart that considers other things as more important than Jesus. I want you to see something very loud and clear here. This is not a true Christian, because there's no fruit, because there's no life. There's no life to the plant. There's no fruit from the plant. This is not a true Christian because there's no fruit. There's no life from the plant. This is not a true Christian because there's no fruit. There's no life from the plant. This alone is the true Christian. As many parables do, you think there's four kinds. There's really only two. The living and the dead. The fruit-bearing and the fruitless. There's really only two kinds. Oh, but I know someone who... Now I'm going to step on toes. And I'm going to do this on purpose and I want to be careful. I know someone who, they received Jesus, there's their Lord and Savior, but for 30 or 40 years now, they received Him first with joy. Are you sure they're a Christian? What if they're not? What if they're not? Because true Christians persevere through hardship and suffering and persecution. True Christians receive with good soil all the teachings of Jesus Christ deep into their hearts, and it transforms them so that they bear fruit. True Christians are not more concerned with the world and its riches than they are with the kingdom. True Christians are sold out for Christ. And Jesus and His Holy Spirit will bear fruit through your life because you become a citizen of His kingdom. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus tells this parable to large crowds. Jesus refers to Isaiah as his theological foundation. Jesus says, this is the fulfillment of Isaiah. Does it bother us in the church if we go out and we do evangelism and we do 4th of July and we do Brazil mission trips and some people don't believe and some people claim to believe and then some people really do? Should that bother us? No, it shouldn't bother us because this is what the kingdom is like. Keep doing the ministry. Keep doing the ministry. But this is what it should do. It should make each and every one of us look in the mirror and say, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Has God produced fruit in my life? Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit are love. Say it with me. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And also Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, my Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. What's a fruitless disciple? An oxymoron. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bear fruit in the lives of your people. I pray that we would see your kingdom and your ministry to be all about you working in your people's lives. Lord, help us to understand this parable and to understand all of your teachings of Scripture. Lord, we are broken. We are sinful. There is nothing we bring good to the table. We are in need of healing and forgiveness. I pray by your Spirit that if there's anyone here today who hears this message, that they would understand in their heart and return to God. That Jesus is King. That Jesus is Messiah. That Jesus is God. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That Jesus conquered death and rose again from the dead. Jesus, that you are alive now, and all who call on the name of the Lord are saved. And then you use us to produce fruit, to glorify the Father, in ways that we will never get credit for, but you will get the glory for. Lord, I pray from each true disciple here that you bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold so that anyone who witnesses their life says it's not them, it's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is true. And the Bible is true. And God is alive. And God is real. Lord, may you bear fruit in and through your church to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.